A very good Thursday. Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
As part of California Department of Food and Agriculture's work to facilitate stewardship of water and natural resources, the agency is pleased to discuss recent developments in the Nitrogen and Irrigation Initiative, a three-year collaborative effort between CDFA's Fertilizer Research and Education Program, UC Agriculture and Natural Resources, and UC Davis. The initiative is supporting research at seven UC Cooperative Extension County offices. The objective is to assist farms and ranches of all size through educational materials, on-farm trials, training events, and grower consultations aimed at establishing nutrient management and irrigation practices that produce fruits, nuts, or vegetables without the overuse of fertilizer or water. Significant milestones in the first quarter of 2023 included field staff training in conjunction with the UCCE Climate Smart Agriculture and Small Farms Community Education Programs. Staff visited two Fresno County Asian vegetable operations to learn more about their irrigation systems and toured UCCE research fields. Another milestone was the initiative's first stakeholder advisory group meeting. The group includes water coalitions, commodity organizations, resource conservation districts, certified crop advisors, and environmental organizations. The purpose of the group is to enhance communication between program partners and organizations that work directly with farms and ranches. California Congressman Jim Costa has taken part in introducing the Fortifying Refrigerated Infrastructure and Developing Global Exports Act, which would direct the U.S. Department of Agriculture to negotiate contracts to deliver needs assessments, training, and other technical assistance to enhance infrastructure construction, including cold chain storage in new and developing foreign markets. He says the agriculture economy relies on efficient refrigeration systems to put food on America's dinner table. He says they need to invest in infrastructure to better store and deliver American products around the world. In addition, he said the legislation will build a more resilient supply chain and expand access to new export markets for American producers. The Fridge Act would add a section promoting infrastructure in a foreign market development program to fund this paragraph. Funds would be authorized at $1 million annually from FY 2024 to 2028. If there are funds left over not allocated, those funds would go to the main FMD pot of money for the benefit of all producers and exporting organizations. Butte County rice producer Josh Shepard will now serve as the new USA Rice Council Board of Directors chairman. The USA Rice Council oversees and authorizes funding for promotion and education efforts for the U.S. rice industry, annually directing upwards of $5 million domestically, in addition to overseeing a roughly $6 million contract with the USDA Food and Agriculture Service for international rice promotion. Shepard, who has been the vice chair representing California since 2017, will take over at a time when rice acres throughout the U.S. is rebounding, meaning additional resources flowing into the council over the next year at least. Shepard will serve a two-year term, which begins August 1st. The average shelf price for frozen vegetables has risen by 18% in the past year, which is the largest increase among all grocery items, according to the Consumer Price Index for June of 2023. Among all consumer goods and services, only a few, like motor vehicle repairs, school meals, and tax return preparation, saw prices jump faster in the past 12 months. According to experts, the reason why vegetables are higher in price is to many factors like immigration trends, high costs for labor and fertilizer, and ripple effects from the war in Ukraine, according to economists and food experts. But perhaps the most consequential event has been unusual weather in California, which is by far the biggest supplier of fresh fruits and vegetables in the U.S., according to Russell Townstead, a professor and agricultural economist at the University of Arizona. California was hit by a deluge of precipitation over the winter, and some areas broke daily rainfall records, and the highest ever snowpack has been recorded in the Sierra Nevada. The result is overflowing rivers, mudslides, and flooding, as well as over-soaked farmland. Some areas were just inundated, he said, which had the effect of decreasing vegetable supply. California is the number one national producer of dozens of crops like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, eggplant, kale, lettuce, onions, bell peppers, spinach, and tomatoes in processed foods, according to the California Department of Food and Agriculture, and is the sole producer of crops like celery and garlic. Overall, the state accounts for nearly half of U.S. vegetable production, according to California Polytechnic State University, and accounts for 42% of total U.S. vegetable sales in 2017.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante. Imagination. Innovation. Science in action.
We're back with another episode of Tech Thursday, talking today about a student-designed robot for agriculture that won top prize at the recent Farm Robotics Challenge. The robot is a harvest assister, which follows the fruit or vegetable picker around in the field and monitors risky postures, carries harvested crops, and streamlines the unloading process for increased efficiency. Important to note is it's not meant to replace workers in the field, but help them pick in a healthier and more efficient manner to reduce farm worker injury. Project collaborator Kimmy Fu, part of a team at UC Davis that developed the robot, explained how it works.
Our harvesting assistant robot will operate by following the picker at a constant distance while they are moving. And when the picker stops, the robot will also come to a stop and wait until the picker is done with the harvesting. And then the picker will then start to load the tree. And, with load tree with the crops. Once the tree is fully loaded with the crops, the picker will then push a button on the robot, signaling that it is a right time for the robot to move to the end of the row, where the second picker, the second worker will unload the tree at the clean center. And moreover, our robot will also have a waiting system that suggested when the tree are full. But picker can also press the button to unload the tree before the waiting system gives a suggestion. So we have two different mechanisms for this robot to work. And after unloading the tree at the end of the row, which is a clean center, the robot will then return to its previous location. This location it can be recorded in the system. And then the platform will be ready to resume the harvesting process.
Fu made it a point to note that farm worker safety and comfort were top of mind when it came down to the design and purpose of the award-winning robot named Amigi, which can track workers' posture in real time via an embedded camera.
When the farm worker has been in the position that may pose a risk for the fall period, such as being hunched over the pick, pick the strawberries for more than 15 or 20 seconds, then the buzzer will be, and this will alert the individual to make the necessary adjustment to their postures. And also before the alarm goes off, the robot factor in things like how long the position has been working. So everything will be recorded, and we will take every kind of means to protect the farm workers. So I think the major function for our robot is not only to help the farm works, but also the farm workers.
Overall, the Farm Robotics Challenge provided a platform for students to demonstrate engineering, computer science, critical thinking, and business skills. They engaged in real-world farming scenarios, creating and programming farm robots using the FarmNG platform. The contest demonstrated how students can apply technology and innovation against challenges in agriculture. In addition to recognition and prize money, $10,000 for the grand prize winner and $5,000 for each category winner, the Farm Robotics Challenge winners will have the opportunity to showcase their innovative projects at FIRA USA 2023 this September. The premier event in Salinas, California, serves as a global stage for agricultural technology innovation, presenting an opportunity for these young innovators to make their mark on an international level. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
Senators Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat from Wisconsin, and Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, introduced bipartisan legislation to increase the transparency and oversight of foreign ownership in America's agricultural industry. The Farmland Security Act of 2023 builds on the Farmland Security Act of 2022 by ensuring that all foreign investors, including shell companies who buy American agricultural land, report their holdings, and strengthens the penalties for those who evade the required filing. It also invests in research to better understand the impact that foreign ownership of American land and agricultural production capacity has on the domestic food supply, family farms, and rural communities. Current reporting shows that foreign-owned agricultural acreage has increased in recent years. However, the data that's been collected is incomplete or inaccurate. The new legislation will direct USDA to conduct an annual compliance audit to ensure accuracy and provide annual training to state and county-level USDA staff on identifying non-reported of foreign-owned agricultural land. U.S. dairy farmers applaud the USDA for moving forward by including a full scope of the National Milk Producers Federation proposal on the Federal Milk Marketing Order System, which the agency is in the process of modernizing. The recognition of National Milk's consensus-based leadership allows the industry to continue the momentum for the changes achieved so far. Each piece of the proposal, from returning to the hire of Class 1 mover as soon as possible to updating both Class 1 price differentials and manufacturing cost allowances, has been crucial towards building that consensus. All the components of the plan are critical to a successful update to this important program, according to National Milk Board Chair Randy Mooney. He said there is still a long journey ahead towards a modernized federal order system that works better for farmers, and National Milk is ready. USDA has announced a series of investments that will increase market access and revenue streams for producers while strengthening the food system. The investments will also give consumers better access to locally grown foods and healthier choices. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack and Deputy Secretary Soshil Torres-Small made the announcement in Philadelphia. The USDA announced 17 new urban service centers and 10 new urban county committees, as well as approximately $10.7 million investments in farm-to-school and an expansion of the Healthy Food Financing Initiative, according to Vilsack. He says it also includes $30 million in funding availability for the new local and regional Healthy Food Financing Partnerships Initiative. The secretary also says these investments will allow families and farmers alike to benefit from healthier food produced close to home. Families should have access to locally grown food wherever they live, and farmers should have profitable markets regardless of zip code, according to Torres Small. U.S. Agency for International Development Administrator Samantha Power says the U.S. will provide another $250 million in aid to Ukraine's agricultural producers. Feedstuff says the money will get distributed through Agri-Ukraine, an initiative that began in 2022 to help support Ukraine's agricultural exports and to combat global food security issues made worse by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Power says multiple groups are working together to keep Ukraine farming and producing commodities. USAID has already been helping Ukraine farmers store the grain they can't sell. It's also working with private sector partners to provide financing, seed, and fertilizer. Power says the additional investments should help Ukraine's producers to plant new crops even if they can't sell grain from their previous harvests. These investments that the U.S. and partners are making will not only help Ukraine win the war, but also help them to build a much more resilient future, according to Powers. A three-day United Nations summit focuses on efforts to build more resilient and sustainable food systems across the world. USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Monday is the start day of a follow-up to a 2021 United Nations Food Systems Summit. Agriculture Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Jenny Moffitt leads the U.S. delegation in Rome for the UN Food Systems Summit Plus Two Stocktaking Moment.
In 2021 at the inaugural summit, we all charted out and made plans of what we would like to do, and this is a chance for us all to reflect on what we've done.
The three-day summit, looking to build more sustainable and resilient food systems programs globally includes the Undersecretary's participation as a speaker in sessions ranging from school meals to innovations through science and technology. She adds,
I'm really looking forward to coming there with curiosity. I'm looking forward to listening and hearing what other countries are doing, and so that we can bring that back to the United States and think about how we can continue the work that we're doing with new frames of mind.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
As of July 31st, U.S. lawmakers will return to their home districts for a summer recess and will be on recess until after Labor Day. Tom Donnelly, Director of Grassroots Program Development with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says this is the time to meet with the federal lawmakers.
Well, we encourage, you know, folks in the agriculture community to take advantage of this time, but to do that, they can... There's a variety of different things they can do. First thing, they need to figure out who their lawmaker is. And for those that need a tool to look up their lawmaker, they can easily go to fb.org. That's for Farm Bureau. fb.org/lookup and enter their street address and zip code. That will give them a list of who their lawmakers are, both from the House and the Senate and also from the State House and the State Senate. From there, they can go to their lawmaker's website, and the quickest thing to do is sign up for the e-newsletter. All right? This way, you'll be informed of what is on the schedule for a particular lawmaker when they're back in the district during August. Some go to fairs, others have town halls, and others you can actually call and make an appointment to go in and meet with the member while they're back home.
Tom Donnelly, Director of Grassroots Program Development with the American Farm Bureau Federation. The American Dairy Coalition is applauding the USDA notice of public rulemaking through a national hearing for all federal milk marketing orders set to begin on August 23rd. They are extremely pleased to see that the Class 1 mover formula will be addressed in the national hearing scope, including the proposals from National Milk Producers Federation and American Farm Bureau to go back to the hire of method, according to Lori Fisher, CEO of American Dairy Council. She says they support this and they know it's one item that has received the most complete consensus at the Farm Bureau Stakeholder Forum last October in Kansas City. The move away from the higher of to the average of method in 2019 was not vetted through a hearing and has led to increased volatility and steep unnecessary losses for dairy farmers. Fisher noted that among the 30 proposals USDA received, 21 are in the hearing scope. Among the other proposals in the hearing scope include AFBF's Class 1 and Class 2 proposal, which includes additional adjustments such as elimination of advanced pricing, the International Dairy Food Association's Class 1 proposal that wants to keep the simple average plus 74-cent adjuster or use a rolling adjuster, Milk Innovation Group's proposal that wants to keep the average of but change the adjuster monthly via the 24-month look-back with a 12-month lag. Two edge proposals are included, one being a Class 3 plus formula. The other would use the higher of but base it on the end of the month announced class and component prices instead of advanced pricing. The hearing docket also contains four proposals on Class 1 differentials, including the National Milk Producer Federation's proposal to increase them in all locations by varying amounts, as well as MIG's proposal to lower them across the board by $1.60. Two proposals from the National Milk Producers Federation and National All Jersey to update milk component factors are included, as well as six proposals on Class 3 and Class 4 formulas. Three are separate make allowance proposals from National Milk Producers Federation, IDFA, and Wisconsin Cheesemakers, as well as three from select milk producers on butterfat recovery, farm-to-plant shrink, and nonfat solids yield. In addition, the hearing scope includes proposals on how commodity products are surveyed, including AFBF's proposal to add 640-pound block cheese and unsalted milk butter, while California Dairy Campaign's proposal would add mozzarella.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. That is there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.